Imagine needing a quick funds. Maybe a sudden expense pops up, or a great opportunity you can't miss, but you absolutely cannot risk your financial standing or get lost in, endless paperwork. Sound familiar? Okay, today on the Deep Dive, we're cutting through the noise around two surprisingly different ways to borrow money: the traditional bank loan versus the often, let's face it, misunderstood world of collateral loans or, pawnbroking. We've looked at insights from seasoned pawnbrokers, academic studies too, and our mission is basically to demystify these options, giving you a clear sort of nuanced understanding so you can confidently think about some truly alternative financial strategies.
And it's important.
Trust me, there's a lot more to pawnbroking than first meets the eye.
It's really true. When people think about borrowing, a bank is, well, usually the first stop, but there's a much broader spectrum out there, and really understanding them can profoundly impact your financial agility.
Financial agility. I like that. So let's start by defining the landscape. On one side, bank loans. What exactly are we talking about there? What characterizes them?
Okay, so a bank loan is fundamentally about borrowing against your credit rating. You're essentially leveraging your financial history, your reputation for responsible borrowing and repayment.
So the bank looks at your past.
Exactly. They scrutinize your past behavior to figure out how likely you are to repay this new loan.
And what are the real risks with that? Because it sounds like it could become quite a, well, high-stakes game pretty quickly.
It absolutely can. The risks are pretty substantial. Miss just one payment, and you're not just looking at late fees, which, already add up. More importantly, that missed payment gets flagged on your credit report, and that can seriously damage your credit rating.
Which affects future borrowing.
Massively. For a car, a mortgage, even sometimes getting certain jobs. Plus, you have to remember, bank loans come with interest rates. That's the cost of borrowing. And that interest just adds to your total obligation. It can compound things if you fall behind. It really creates this ongoing cycle of borrowing risk with potentially long-term consequences for your whole financial standing.
Okay, so your reputation is constantly sort of on the line. Now, let's pivot to the alternative. Collateral loans, pawnbroking. How does that model fundamentally differ?
A collateral loan through pawnbroking works on a completely different principle. Instead of borrowing against your credit score, your reputation, you're borrowing against the actual value of a physical item you own.
Something tangible.
Exactly. This item, the collateral, acts as the security for the loan. And the key distinction here, the absolute core of it, is that the most you can possibly lose is the item itself.
Just the item.
Just the item. There's no hit to your credit rating, no spiraling debt beyond that, no wider effect on your financial position other than losing that specific asset if you can't repay. The debt is entirely covered by the item.
That's a completely different risk profile then, almost like a contained risk.
And what's fascinating, you mentioned this history. It goes way back, right? Even shaping place names we know. This isn't some modern gimmick.
Oh, far from it. Pawnbroking is genuinely one of the oldest professions still going today. You can trace its origins all the way back to 5th century China. And its arrival here in the UK, that's linked to the Norman invasion in 1066. It was brought over by pawnbrokers from Lombardy, which was a huge financial center back then.
Lombardy, like Lombard Street.
Precisely. They set up shop in London, and their legacy lives on. Lombard Street in the city of London is still named after them. It's a real testament to their role in the city's early financial history. It's quite remarkable how such an ancient system is still relevant.
That historical context really grounds it. It's not just some niche thing. It's a financial strategy with like serious pedigree. Okay, so diving into the practicalities, again, the core distinction in risk, what is it? Well, the primary difference is where the risk actually lies. With a bank loan, you're risking your credit rating, your broader financial future. You could end up with escalating debt, long-term borrowing problems. With a collateral loan, the risk is totally isolated to the item you pawn. If life happens and you can't repay, the pawnbroker keeps the item, the debt is settled. Full stop.
And that's it.
That's it. No extra fees, nothing more due, and critically, no damage whatsoever to your credit rating. It's a clean break if it has to be.
So for anyone who's maybe a bit uncertain about repaying or just really wants to avoid that whole potential credit mess, collateral loans sound like they have a built-in safety net.
That's a good way to put it.
And what about speed? We often hear about needing cash, like right now.
Speed is definitely a major advantage because the loan is secured by a physical thing. You sidestep most of the extensive credit checks and the bureaucratic hoops you jump through with banks, which means you can often get funds almost instantly, sometimes directly into your bank, maybe even cash in hand in some cases. No waiting days or weeks for approval.
Okay, now, for many of our listeners, I know privacy and financial stuff is a really big deal. Can collateral loans actually offer discretion that bank loans just can't?
Absolutely. Discretion is really a cornerstone of the whole model.
Yeah.
Your transaction doesn't involve credit checks, right?
Okay.
And it's not reported to any financial institutions. All the paperwork, usually handled right there in the shop. So no digital trail, no letters about your loan coming through the post. It stays a completely private agreement between you and the pawnbroker.
That's very different.
Very different from the highly scrutinized world of traditional lending, yeah.
That's a huge factor for people who value privacy. And beyond the speed and discretion, these loans offer a way to unlock value that's just sitting there. I mean, lots of us have valuable things, jewelry, maybe some art, watches just shut away.
Precisely. Think of those unused valuables not just as stuff, but as, like, dormant capital. Pawnbroking offers this unique kind of financial alchemy, really. It lets you instantly turn that value into cash, turn a forgotten heirloom into immediate financial flexibility, but without permanently losing it through a sale.
So you get the cash without selling the item necessarily.
Exactly. It's about seeing liquidity where you might have only seen, you know, static wealth, putting your assets to work for you, even if just temporarily.
Okay, let's tackle a big misconception, though.
Yeah.
That sort of dusty old movie image of pawnbrokers almost hoping you won't come back so they can sell your stuff. There's this common idea that people who pawn items rarely get them back.
Yeah, that's such an unfortunate and frankly widespread stereotype, and the data just doesn't back it up at all.
Really?
Really. Studies consistently show that around 85% of loans against items at pawnbrokers across the UK are successfully paid off and the items reclaimed.
85%, that's huge.
It is. It's a real eye-opener. It completely flips that old taboo on its head. It makes you wonder, like, if so many people are happy with it, why is it still so misunderstood?
Exactly. Yeah. There was a study by the National Pawnbrokers Association that found a quarter of the public would actually consider pawnbroking if they just understood how it worked better.
Interesting.
And another one from Bristol University noted that while, like, 90% of people know pawnbroking exists, very few really get the process. But, and this is key among those who do use the service, an impressive 95% were found to be either satisfied or very satisfied.
95% satisfaction. That's incredible for any service industry.
Right. It also showed strong customer loyalty. 71% never switched shops. And the industry itself saw decent growth, about 8% between June 2012 and June 2013. It really seems like understanding is the key to unlocking its value for people.
It definitely seems that way. Knowledge dispels the myths.
Okay, so for those of you now thinking, all right, how does this actually work then? Let's walk through the process. It's actually very simple, really just 6 steps to get a collateral loan.
Mm-hmm.
So first up, step 1, choosing your item. What's crucial here?
Okay, first, it needs to be something valuable that you own outright. No liens or anything. And critically, it has to be something you're willing to part with temporarily. Remember, they hold on to it for safekeeping.
Got it.
It's also smart to maybe do a little homework on its potential value beforehand. And try to gather any provenance documents.
Provenance, like proof of where it came from.
Exactly. Any paperwork that proves its origin, ownership history, authenticity, things like original receipts, certificates of authenticity, maybe appraisal reports if you have them. Having these can definitely help strengthen the valuation you get.
Makes sense. Okay, so you've got your item, maybe some paperwork. Step 2 is valuation. What happens then?
Right. You take your item to a reputable pawnbroker. Their job is to assess its current market value. Basically, what could they realistically sell it for if, worst case, the loan isn't repaid?
And that might be different from what I paid for it.
Oh, definitely. It could be higher or lower depending on the market, condition, rarity, etc. And here's a key point. A trustworthy pawnbroker won't charge you just for the valuation.
Oh, good. So it's risk-free to just find out?
Completely risk-free financially at this stage, yeah.
Okay, good to know. No upfront cost, just to explore.
Yeah, yeah.
Then comes step 3, the loan offer.
Based on that valuation, the pawnbroker will make you an offer for a loan, usually matching that assessed value. Now, you are completely free to just say no thanks and walk away with your item if the offer isn't what you hoped for.
No pressure.
No pressure, no obligation at all at this point.
Okay. If you're happy with the offer, we move to step 4, acceptance of the loan.
Right. If you decide to go ahead, they'll draw up a contract. This is the bit where you really need to pay attention.
Read the fine print.
Absolutely. Review it carefully. Check the loan length, any fees or interest rates, because yes, like any loan, there is a cost for borrowing. That's the interest. And make sure you understand if extensions are allowed later on.
Can you still back out here?
Yes, you can still walk away before you sign anything if something doesn't feel right. But once you sign, your item is taken for secure safekeeping and you get the funds. Usually it's a bank transfer these days, sometimes cash, depending on the amount and the place.
Okay, signed, sealed, delivered. Then we're into step five,
Yeah.
the loan period itself.
This is simply the agreed upon time you have to repay the loan. Typically, it's up to a maximum of 7 months in the UK. During this time, the money's yours to use. Your contract will also specify if you have the option to extend the loan period if you need more time when it ends.
All right. And finally, step six, the end of the loan period. What happens then? What are your choices?
You basically have three clear choices. First, the ideal one. You repay the loan plus any agreed upon interest or fees, and you get your item back. Simple.
Okay.
Second, if your contract allows it and you need more time, you might be able to extend the loan. You'd usually pay the interest due and maybe a fee and get a new period.
Got it. And the third option.
The third option is you choose not to pay off the loan. If that happens, the pawnbroker will then sell the item to recover the money they lent you. And I have to stress this again, choosing this path carries no damage to your credit rating whatsoever.
Not at all.
None. The collateral simply settles the debt. End of story.
That's a remarkably clear and straightforward process.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've walked through the mechanics, but what kind of stuff, what kind of treasures can actually unlock this capital? Let's peel back the curtain a bit on the luxury market, because when we think pawnbroking, maybe some picture everyday items, but the reality, especially at the high end, is way more dazzling, isn't it? What sorts of incredible assets are we talking about?
Oh, it's quite a diverse and really fascinating range, especially in luxury pawnbroking. Think basically anything that holds significant value, either intrinsically or on the market. High-end watches are incredibly popular.
Like what brands?
You see things like Rolex, A. Lange & Söhne, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe. Really top-tier stuff. Their value comes down to the materials, the brand's reputation, age, condition, and again, that provenance box, papers, history.
Makes sense.
Then there's exquisite fine jewelry. That covers everything. Bracelets, necklaces, rings, earrings, brooches, pins, even individual diamonds, rare gemstones, pearls.
How do they value that?
Again, materials, the quality of the gem's carat, cut, clarity, color, age, condition, who made it, where it came from, and its likely retail value. And having a proper lab report for your jewelry, that can often get you a better valuation.
Good tip.
We also see a lot of fine art. Paintings, drawings, sculptures, ornamental pieces. For these, it's all about the artist's reputation, the quality and renown of the specific work, its condition, and what similar pieces are selling for.
Art makes sense. Anything else surprising?
Maybe things like vintage wines and spirits. If you have rare bottles with perfect storage history, good labels, they can be valuable. Raw or cut diamonds, obviously, valued on the 4Cs Plus History Original Certification, is a huge help there. Even unique antiques could be furniture, coins, rare books, classic cars.
Classic cars, like what?
Yeah, vintage classic luxury cars. Think Bugatti, Koenigsegg, Aston Martin, Rolls-Royce. If you own one outright, it can potentially be used as collateral.
Yes.
Also, things like rare first edition books, signed copies.
Wow. It's an astounding array of assets you can leverage. It really shows how sophisticated this side of lending has become.
It really has.
And I guess for valuing such unique and varied items, you need some serious expertise, right? I know David Sonnenthal from New Bond Street Pawnbrokers is quite well known in this area.
He truly is. David Sonnenthal, founder of the multi-award-winning New Bond Street Pawnbrokers, he's a perfect example. Decades of experience, deep expertise. He was even a resident expert on Channel 4's Four Rooms for a while. And that level of specialist knowledge is absolutely crucial. You need experts who really understand the intricate, often niche markets for each type of asset. That's the only way to ensure a fair, accurate valuation, which gives you confidence in the loan you're getting.
Definitely. So we've taken quite a deep dive today into two really fundamentally different ways to get access to capital. We've seen how traditional bank loans, while, common, come with that significant risk of messing up your credit rating, potentially snowballing debt with interest if things go wrong. In sharp contrast, collateral loans, pawnbroking offer a low-risk, discreet, and a really rapid way to get capital by using assets you already own, all without ever putting your financial reputation on the line, though, of course, remember, they do have their own interest and fees.
Booked as a loan with costs.
Exactly. But for those of you listening who might be, let's say, asset rich, but maybe cash poor in the short term, understanding these options isn't just interesting trivia. It's actually a powerful tool for financial flexibility, for managing those immediate cash flow needs.
It really can be.
So, as we all navigate these increasingly complex financial landscapes, here's something to think about. Is your credit score truly your only valuable asset you can leverage? Or is there maybe some untapped financial power sitting right there in your home? A deeper understanding of these alternatives isn't just knowledge. It could be a blueprint for genuine financial agility, maybe shifting your whole perspective on personal wealth and how you handle immediate cash needs.